Hello and welcome to the PCJ Media Archives. I'm Keith Parent. On today's program, we're going to be bringing you something of a rather personal nature. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, I was producing and presenting a program called Short Waves that aired on CKUT in Montreal. It wasn't a communications program. No, it wasn't that at all. Instead, every week we would feature news bulletins and special broadcasts from various different international broadcasters. This edition of Short Waves is from 1990, from the beginning of the Gulf War. We began on the program featuring the news from the BBC, and then Bill Westenhaver joined me in the studio. Now, some of you will recognize that name. Bill Westenhaver was the one-time host of the International Radio Report that aired on CKUT, and he's currently in audience relations at Radio Canada International. He joined me on the show to talk about some of the other broadcasts people can hear for more information about what was going on in the Persian Gulf. What you are about to hear is an air check of the live program as it went out in 1990.
Good afternoon and welcome to Short Waves, your weekly review of what's going on the world of international communications. I'm Keith Perron. On the program today, we're going to take a look at the situation in the Gulf with the BBC World Service program Newsreel. And then finally, we'll give you some frequencies and some broadcasters to tune into to find out what's going on with Bill Westenhaven, host, one of the hosts of the International Radio Report, which airs Thursdays here on CKUT. To begin the program, let's hear Radio Newsreel, or I should say Newsreel from the BBC World Service, taped this morning at 12 hours Greenwich Mean Time on 9515 in the 31-meter band.
From the BBC World Service Newsroom, this is Martin Handley with Newsreel. News and correspondence reports from around the world. The British Foreign Office says that Iraqi forces occupying Kuwait have detained more Britons. The United Arab Emirates has agreed to allow American forces to be deployed on its territory. Iraq has told all diplomats in Kuwait that unless they leave by Friday, they will be treated as ordinary citizens. President Bush has been discussing his military and diplomatic options. We have full reports on the Gulf crisis and the story of the group of prisoners who hijacked a Soviet passenger aircraft to Karachi and have now surrendered. Another 82 British nationals have been detained by the Iraqi forces in Kuwait. A total of 123 civilians are now in custody, in addition to 66 British military advisers who were seized by the Iraqis immediately after the invasion on August the 2nd. A short time ago, here in London, the Foreign Secretary, Mr. Douglas Hurd, gave a news conference. We have this report from our defence correspondent, Harold Briley.
The British Foreign Secretary, condemning Iraq's actions as repulsive and illegal, said every effort is being made to get the British and other nationals released. Mr. Hurd rejected Iraq's latest demand that the British embassy in Kuwait be closed down. He said diplomats would be kept there as long as possible to keep in touch with the British community. Mr. Hurd repeated that the military deployment is defensive.
The purpose of our deployment, as we made clear at the time of the decision, is to deter Saddam Hussein from attacking Saudi Arabia or other friendly states in the Gulf. And secondly, to help to implement the resolution which the Security Council has already passed about sanctions against Iraq following their annexation of Kuwait.
Mr. Hurd said he does not believe military conflict is inevitable, but if sanctions prove ineffective, he did not rule out further action not yet decided upon. He thought Saudi Arabia may now be safe.
I believe myself that we lived through a very dangerous few days when there was a real prospect of an Iraqi attack on Saudi Arabia. We may have moved past that moment of immediate danger, but that deterrent needs to remain in place. And so do the forces which are needed to implement the Security Council resolutions.
Douglas Hurd speaking in London, ending that report by Harold Briley. As you've heard, the Iraqi authorities have warned all foreign diplomats in Kuwait to close down their missions by Friday or be treated as ordinary foreign nationals. 64 countries have embassies or consulate officials in offices in Kuwait. The Foreign Office in London said Britain would not comply with the order and, like other states, intended to maintain its diplomatic mission in Kuwait. One of our correspondents in the Middle East, Hugh Schofield, has just sent this report.
Just over a week ago, when Iraq announced it was formally annexing Kuwait, it told diplomats they no longer had any reason to be there and ordered them to transfer their missions to Baghdad. Needless to say, the call went unheeded, and now a spokesman has said that after Friday, diplomats who refuse to shut down their missions in Kuwait will be treated like ordinary civilians. Presumably that means if they're Westerners, they'll be unable to leave and under the same threat as everyone else of being forcibly removed to government installations. The move's bound to be seen as yet another provocation, particularly by the United States and Western Europe. It's becoming more apparent that Saddam Hussein is trying to use the question of foreign detainees to divide the international community. This morning, for instance, it was announced that citizens of two countries, Indonesia and some Argentines, would be free to leave Iraqi control. It was made clear this concession was because their countries were deemed to have taken neutral positions on the Gulf crisis.
Hugh Schofield reporting from Nicosia. It's now clear that the United States is to widen its military commitment in the Gulf region by deploying additional forces in the United Arab Emirates. The announcement was made by the American Defense Secretary, Mr. Dick Cheney, who's in Abu Dhabi. Jonathan Birchall reports.
After meeting the president of the UAE, Sheikh Zayed, Mr. Cheney said he was especially glad that American forces were among those accepted by the country in defense of the Gulf. He didn't say whether the Americans had already arrived, where they would be based, or what they would be doing. And the official media here didn't report Mr. Cheney's remarks at all. One official said the government did not consider them important. Some reports say American forces are already here, and American defense specialists have been seen arriving at the airport. There have also been sightings of United States transport planes in the air over Abu Dhabi. The Emirates lie on the southern side of the Straits of Hormuz at the mouth of the Gulf, a strategic position offering facilities for American ships and reconnaissance aircraft enforcing the blockade of Iraq. And in the event of hostilities, the airfields here would provide valuable bases for combat aircraft, lying at the very edge of the Iraqi Air Force's maximum operational range. But the tight-lipped reaction of the government here reflects the sensitivity of the issue for the Arabs. With the prospect of American forces now in place both here and in Saudi Arabia on an open-ended basis.
Jonathan Birchall in the United Arab Emirates. President Bush is to give a speech on the Gulf crisis at the annual convention of the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Baltimore in a few hours' time. This morning he met his national security advisers. Our Washington correspondent David McNeil reports.
President Bush is trying to ensure that the plight of American hostages in Iraq and Kuwait does not become the driving force behind U.S. policy. The State Department is advising Americans in Kuwait to stay in their homes and not comply with the latest Iraqi demand that they assemble at specified hotels in Kuwait City. On the other hand, the Americans are also being told not to resist if the Iraqis come looking for them. Officials here believe that Iraq has sufficient food reserves to last for another 2 or 3 months. So the United States does not see any immediate need to consider allowing food into Iraq on a humanitarian basis, despite Iraqi warnings that if there is a serious food shortage, foreign nationals will suffer every bit as much as the Iraqi people. On the military side, the massive build-up continues, with the Marines, in the words of one commentator, moving everything to the Gulf that isn't tied down. The U.S. operation, known as Desert Shield, is still officially described as defensive in nature. Several influential politicians here say that as things stand, the president may not have a political mandate to launch an attack on Iraqi forces. But more of the new stealth fighters are being sent to the region, and the stealth, which can evade enemy radar, is most definitely an offensive weapon, and a deadly one at that.
David McNeil in Washington. There are reports in Paris that the French are using the PLO as intermediaries to negotiate the release of French citizens caught up in the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait. Our correspondent in Paris, Jonathan Charles, says Arab diplomatic sources believe the reports are true, although the president's office has declined to comment.
There are more than 550 French citizens in Iraq and Kuwait, and it seems that behind-the-scenes diplomatic moves have been underway to try to secure permission for them to leave. It's being suggested that France used PLO officials in Tunis to negotiate with the Baghdad government. Last week, the former French minister, Claude Cheysson, traveled to Tunis for a meeting with PLO leader Yasser Arafat. There, the question of French nationals was raised, but it's not known whether the help of the PLO was asked for. Whatever negotiations took place, at the moment they appear to have failed, and France hasn't got Iraq to agree yet that French nationals should be treated any differently from other Westerners. During the weekend, France issued new orders to its navy to enforce the United Nations sanctions against Iraq, stopping ships if necessary. As the hardening of the government's position has become clear, more French nationals have been moved from their hotels and homes in Baghdad and Kuwait. One woman speaking in Paris said her husband had telephoned to say he was probably being taken to the oil port of Basra. No doubt part of Iraq's effort to move foreigners to vital installations to deter any possible attack.
Jonathan Charles in Paris. And now a summary of the latest developments in the Gulf. The British Foreign Office says that Iraqi forces occupying Kuwait have detained 82 British citizens at the Regency Palace Hotel and taken them away. The British government's advice to its nationals in Kuwait remains that they should stay at home. Iraq has again demanded the closure of all embassies in Kuwait City and has warned diplomats that if they do not leave by Friday, they'll be treated as ordinary citizens. Discussions are continuing at the United Nations, where the BBC correspondent says revulsion at Iraq's possible use of foreign civilians to shield military installations is forging greater unity among the five permanent members of the Security Council. The United States is to widen its military commitment in the Gulf region by deploying additional forces in the United Arab Emirates. An Emirates spokesman had said earlier that the deployment of foreign forces, including troops offered by friendly Arab states, would now be permitted. President Bush has been discussing his military and diplomatic options over the crisis with his national security advisers. Influential American politicians have said that, as things stand, the president may not have a political mandate to attack Iraqi forces. Mr. Bush is making two speeches later today. I'm Martin Handley. You've been listening to Newsreel in the World Service of the BBC.
And that was Martin Handley in London, and that was Newsreel taken this morning off the BBC World Service on 9515 in the 31 meter band at 12 hours UTC. Let's take a music break. Here's Yazoo from the compact disc Upstairs at Eric's, the song Bring Your Love Down.
Your love down all night. Do not bring your love down.
That was Yazoo from the compact disc Upstairs at Eric's, and that was a song, or the track rather, Bring Your Love Down. You are listening to Shortwaves on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, 91.7 cable. We started off the program with newsreel from the BBC World Service, and we found out what was going on with Iraq and Kuwait and the American troops and British troops and French troops and all the other troops that are in the Persian Gulf as we speak. I have in the studio Bill Westenhaver from the International Radio Report, which airs Thursdays at 2:30 p.m., who's going to give us a small rundown of stations that we could pick up in this country and listen to, and stations to listen to for a good laugh. Hello, Bill.
I hope you turn on the microphone. it's very interesting to follow all the stations from the Gulf area. I must admit that I better say right off the bat, too, that anybody who used to listen to or would like to think they'd like to listen to Radio Kuwait, you're out of luck, because Radio Kuwait went off the air the day after the invasion. That was on the invasion was on the 2nd of August. Shortly afterwards, the Iraqi troops captured the broadcasting house in Kuwait, and the regular transmissions went off at that point. Technicians out at the transmitter site put on a whole bunch of music tapes with special emergency announcements asking for help from the Gulf Cooperation Council and from the Arab world at large to repulse the Iraqi invasion. But those broadcasts went off the air the day after the invasion. They stayed on for like a little over 24 hours and until the Iraqis captured the transmitter site. Nobody knows quite whether the transmitters in Kuwait are still working or not, but they've not been used, so.
So there's no type of, there's no carrier signal at all then?
No. I must admit, nobody seems to know whether the transmitters have just been turned off once they've been captured, or whether they've been destroyed, or what. Mm-hmm. There's no news coming out about that.
What about domestic broadcasting in Kuwait? Has the whole broadcasting system been turned off, or just the international service?
Pretty much the whole system has been turned off. There are some medium-wave stations, which we aren't going to be able to hear here, the AM band stations, but they're running programs coming out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So that was taken over.
Okay, now, what would be, obviously the BBC is probably the best station to listen to in this type of crisis. I mean,
yeah,
the BBC
definitely.
World Service always does great coverage in situations like this. What about other broadcasters, such as the VOA?
VOA's been doing a lot about it. I've never been a big fan of the VOA. I mean, it's one of my personal prejudices. But I would say, you know, follow their coverage, because the U.S. is one of the important players, perhaps the most important player on the Western side, other than... And they're going to be... giving you the American point of view on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just about all the major broadcasters are talking a lot about this, so tune into any of them. If you want to hear something from the region, the most easy to hear, and I suppose the most interesting, would be Radio Baghdad itself. They have a two-hour English broadcast every day. It's broadcast twice a day, but there's only really one time you can hear it, and that's the beaming to Europe, which makes it across the Atlantic. In the late afternoon here, from 20 to 22 hours UTC, that's 4 to 6 p.m. Montreal time, on 13660 kilohertz. And it's quite interesting and illuminating, shall we say, to listen to it. It's basically, you know, short feature. It follows Baghdad's format over the years, which is short features, maybe 5 minutes long or so, news, commentaries, press reviews, little feature programs, interspersed with a lot of music. They've been playing a lot of Western music, interestingly enough, the past few days. I don't know whether they're trying to attract a Western audience, but they're playing more Western music nowadays than they were playing a few months ago. And it's kind of interesting to read some significance into the song titles. When they keep playing Peaches and Herbs Reunited, you wonder if that's supposed to actually mean something. Or Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive, where they're trying to get a sort of a message across to you. Or Jefferson Starship's Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. And also they do... They've put on some new feature programs. You're going to hear all these communiques you hear reported about them.
What about their newscasts? How are they covering the situation? Obviously, they're putting out a lot of propaganda.
Very definitely, yeah.
What is it like? I heard yesterday on Radio Baghdad, they said there's protests around the world for the Americans getting involved.
It's always the same two or three countries. I mean, it's, you know, the West Bank, Jordan, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's a very one-sided news broadcast. The most interesting thing about it actually is seeing where their slant lies, and also listening to the government communiques mm-hmm. that come out. All these little announcements that you hear about on the BBC have originally been broadcast, are all broadcast on Radio Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about other broadcasters?
From the region, United Arab Emirates is going to be one to watch, too, since U.S. troops have started deploying in the UAE. There are two of the Emirates in the United Arab Emirates have had English broadcasts, but the ones from Abu Dhabi disappeared about a week and a half ago, roughly. So, unfortunately, you can forget them. They used to have 2 hours of English a night.
Mm-hmm.
UAE Radio Dubai, which is another one from Dubai, which is another one of the Emirates, is still around, and they're giving a certain amount of coverage in their newscast. They only have short newscasts of about 10 minutes. But they're giving a certain amount of coverage to what's going on. It's interesting to note that Dubai, the very day of the invasion, didn't mention a single thing about it. I think they were scared stiff, quite frankly. Anyway, I'll run through a couple of frequencies very quickly for UAE. In the mornings, you can hear them at 1330 UTC, that's 930 Montreal time, or 1630 UTC, the newscast, that's 1230 our time. Both of those you can hear on 21605 usually, unless the propagation conditions are poor. The 1330 broadcast you can also try on 17865 kilohertz, which usually isn't quite as good, but it's usually listenable.
Mm-hmm.
There's an early morning broadcast at 0330, early morning their time, that is, 0330 UTC, which is 1130 p.m. our time. Several different frequencies. I'd say the best one to try is 13675 kilohertz. Also, they're using 11945, 15400, and 15435. But quality on all of them really is quite variable. What else? Syria is going to be one to watch, too. Damascus has, Radio Damascus has two English broadcasts a day at 2005 and 2110 UTC. That's 4:05 and 5:10 p.m. Montreal time, 12085 and 15095 kilohertz. And an hour before the first broadcast, they have a broadcast in French, in case you prefer to listen in French. What else?
What other... have there been any international broadcasts? I know RCI, they started broadcasting for 10 minutes in Arabic daily
to the
Persian Gulf area. Are there any other international broadcasters that have added frequencies as well as languages, and well, not languages, but broadcasts to that part of the world?
A lot of them have. Everybody from the BBC to, believe it or not, Radio Thailand have added broadcasts to the Middle East. Run through just a couple of them very, very quickly. We mentioned RCI. RCI had plans to start Arabic programming eventually, if they could find the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
But as of last Monday, they started a 10-minute news broadcast in Arabic, which is repeated twice during their Middle East programs in the our evening time, which is local morning over in the Middle East. At 0330 UTC, which is 1130 p.m., on 11730, and on at 0430 UTC, that's half past midnight Montreal time, on 15275 kilohertz. Both of those frequencies come from transmitters in Austria, but we should be able to hear them here, particularly the 15275.
So we're using the Radio Austria transmitters.
Yeah, because it's close, a lot closer to the target area.
What about Radio Moscow?
I haven't heard much whether they've been adding anything new or not, but the thing is, Moscow has quite extensive services in Arabic already for several hours a day, and I'm not sure they've added anything.
What about the British Forces radio service? Because they, the last time they broadcast on shortwave was during the Falkland crisis. What about now?
Yeah, they actually just started... British Forces Broadcasting Service is a service that's designed to serve British forces in various points around the world, the Falklands, Germany, Hong Kong, whatever. Anyway, BFBS started for the first time since the Falklands crisis in, 1982? Half-hour programs on shortwave. They're running three of them a day, and they're mainly music dedication programs for the troops out in the Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, you know, so that mom and dad at home in Leicester can send their son John, who's on such and such a ship, you know, his favorite piece of music, sort of thing. And it's you know, just bright, chatty DJ shows for half an hour. They're running three different shows a day, and some of the frequencies can be heard here, not all of them, but some of them. I think your best bet is going to be here the half hour that begins at 0200 UTC, which is 10 p.m. Montreal time. 7125 kilohertz is doing more or less okay. 9640 kilohertz, which is a little harder to hear. And probably the best of the three frequencies is 13745 kilohertz. There are three frequencies used at 0930, and unfortunately I've checked them twice this weekend and I haven't been able to hear any of them. But at 1330 UTC, which is 9:30 in the morning, just after BBC goes off for North America, try 15195, 17695, or 21735 kilohertz. All of them were coming through this morning, but none of them were very strong. Mm-hmm. So you may have a little trouble hearing them.
Okay, thank you very much, Bill, for coming along to the studio. Next week on Shortwaves, we're going to follow up of what's going on in the Gulf with some more information, as well as a radio newsreel from next week. And we'll also have an edited version for you next week of all the reports that have been coming out of that part of the world. And we'll try to get some Radio Baghdad for you to hear how funny it is. Anyway, to end the program, by the way, your comments and questions are always welcome. Our address is CKUTFM, care of Shortwaves, 34A McTavish, room B15, Montreal, Quebec, H3C3A8. To end the program...
Hey Keith,
yes?
It's H3A1X9.
H3A1X9. Okay. I'm giving...
You did that last week, too.
Okay, so until next week, we're going to end this week with Madonna's Vogue from her CD single. So until next time, so long and take care.
If you enjoyed this program and would like to hear more, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.